Brother Kevin, if you don't know me, now you do. Praise the Lord. So, 25 years. Hey, Brother Gary. It's good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see the dude. I think you guys were there when we left. I think, like, right there. No, you might have been right there. So, yeah, it's good to see that you've grown, made it up in the second row. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. It's good to see you guys. Good to be here. Thank you for that song, brother. Where are you? Yeah, thank you for that song. You know, we live in an age where, always been this way, voices, right? Yeah. Genesis 3:1, yea hath God said. And I think today, go over to Jude. That's what I'm going to teach from this morning. And thank you, Pastor Stewart. It's good to see you and your wife. And good to see Brother Robinson. And I'm just glad to be here. Looking forward. You have Brother Rich Glenn going to be here tonight? Yeah. Is that? Yeah, good. Amen. What was I talking about? I think we're in an age where an unprecedented age of many voices out there, you know, and information age, right? Men shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. It's a definitive sort of characteristic of this age, and so you have to have a filter for that, and you know, you're in a good place to learn what that filter is and figure that out, and. It's always been so, and the reason for that is we're on this side of Genesis chapter 3. We're in a fallen world. If you're saved here this morning, you came to an understanding that you were fallen, right? And you needed someone to pick you up, and you found the answer, and the cure for that is the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel of Christ, and praise the Lord. And that's why this church is here, and so I just want to commend you all. Just keep at it, and I want to talk to you about that word fall. It's found here in Jude, and I want to look at a few things in Jude. This is a great little book. It's like, 25 verses, and its position in the canon is pretty strategic. It's right before the book of Revelation, so we could say safely without harming the scripture at all, this is a great text and a reminder for God's people at the end of the church age, and we're one day closer today of Jesus coming and getting us out of here than we were yesterday. Let's put it that way. Paul was excited in his day, and we should be just as excited. And that focus on that will encourage you, it will strengthen you, it will help you as a believer to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ in an age where keeping your eyes in the right place has become more and more difficult, right? And a very visual world that we live in today. But let's get to the text. Brother, what time do you want me done?
Probably about 10 till.
10 till? Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. I've got you for a while. All right. Let's get it here. Jude, verse 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men, now here's the battle, there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to brush past a lot of this, but what you have here, if you're familiar, you probably are, is a number of examples of this apostasy, we call it. It's kind of a technical word, but just a falling away from a correct position of truth from God's perspective, which is the only one that counts. And so I'll hit some of this as we're going through the lesson this morning. But what I'd like you to go to is kind of jump up to about verse 17 for sake of time. And verse 17, he kind of brings it, going through these illustrations and examples, and he kind of brings it back to us. And he says in verse 17, Jude writing here, but beloved, remember the words that which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved. Always notice that shift, you know, in camps, but ye, they, ye, they. Notice that, and that'll help you. Verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Sure want to do that. Verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able, now this is my text this morning that I'm gonna launch from. Now unto him that is able to keep you from what? Falling. It means that we can, right? Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I read that because it's just good. Amen. I want to develop this thought this morning for you to consider and look at how not to stumble. How not to stumble. That's what he's saying. Now unto him, of course, that's our Savior. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence. For the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time. Bless your words. May your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, in that special way that you do, bring life and in enlightenment and instruction through your words. We thank you for the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Someone said one time, they had to because I read this, they said one time, a stumble is the first step toward a fall. You know, and falls can be funny. You know, there's the pratfall, the old, maybe the silent movie, ha, you know, and that's funny because we're actually laughing at somebody's pain. You know, there's just something really wrong with that, but it can be really funny. But a spiritual fall, you know, there are falls that are not funny. We get cold, really cold and icy in Walla Walla. You have to be very, never walk. Hey, Brother Dale, it's good to see you. Yeah. Never walk on, you know, you already know this. I just figured this out. Never walk with your hands in your pocket in a parking lot, right? Because then it's your fault, all right? But a spiritual fall, that's a really bad situation. And that's what we're talking about. Can I tell you this morning, as a born again, Bible believing Christian, every one of us here, including myself, we have the potential to stumble and to fall and to faint and to fail. And if we didn't, there wouldn't be so much material. That words like that in that family wouldn't be so prevalent in the Bible. They're just all over the place, okay? So we want to pay attention to this. And like I said, this book of Jude is a really, it's got a wonderful position in your Bible, because I like the way God kind of gives you a heads up what you need to know. And here in Jude, verse 24, the writer here, he's telling us that the Lord himself is able to keep you from falling. And falling here means, you know, it can mean it's a number of things, but certainly giving up, just throwing in the towel and quit living for God and going to church and praying and reading your Bible and loving God and trying to grow and trying to, right? And maybe that's where you are right now. So this message is for you. Maybe you're not there. So this message is for you, not to go there. But can I tell you, living a spiritual life is not natural. It is supernatural. And we are in a fallen world, in a fallen environment. Even worse, we're clothed with a fallen flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Right? So we have a number of issues surrounding us all the time, and we are literally going in a 180 degree direction from everything else that is not saved, is not born again, is not been regenerated by God yet, like the creation and the world and the environment and in the world that we live in. By the way, that's why we're here. We're here for that reason. You and I, what are we? We are salt of the earth. We are light in a dark place. We are, right? We've passed from death to life. That means those that haven't are still there. So there's just this amazing environment that, by the way, it's smart. It's a smart environment. And it, by its design, its fallen design, it is quite able to mess you up as a Christian if you're not aware of it and you don't fight what? The good fight of faith, contend for the faith. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But verse 24 is just, it's a reminder that falling doesn't have to happen. You know, that's encouraging. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want to stir you this morning. And the text and the Lord is quite able to do that if we'll just focus in on that. And especially, especially if you have a desire to live for God. Second Timothy chapter 3 says we're going to find ourselves in perilous times. This one's for me, right?
Yep.
What was that event just a couple of days ago? The Charlie Kirk assassin, perilous times. Right? I wasn't really up on him as an individual. I've learned some things. I think he was probably doing some really good stuff. I appreciate so much that he would step into campuses and discuss dialogue with young people, right? And who have been corrupted and compromised by this world system that we live in. It's just a reminder of where we're at, and yet now he's gone, and that's a very sad thing, leaving a family behind. But it's a reminder of just what I mean, and then what's worse are comments by a faction in our country. Hi, I'm glad that happened. Hey, we should see more of that. It's like that's perilous times, and what's really sad is. Any individual that would make that sort of knee-jerk reaction to that kind of event, irregardless of what your faith, your belief, your politics, as a human, if you're okay with that, then somebody has planted that mindset in you. And you've been carried by perhaps the prevailing winds of the world that we live in and a number of other things, but it's just a reminder of the world that we live in. But let's don't drag our knuckles over that reality. That should encourage us and stir us to step up the game on our side of the equation, right? Because, hey, if any change does come to individuals, it's going to come from you. Why? Because you decided to not fall. You decided, hey, I am going to contend for the faith. I am going to step up my game, right? And that's what we need to do. So the description found here in Jude, I think, when it comes to this idea of decline and apostasy of the spiritual life, of not just the world around us, but the church even in this world, that's what we see here. So I've always kind of thought of the Christian life. It is a battle. It's a war of attrition. It's a wearing down. You know, it's a lot easier when you're seeing bombs exploding around you and soldiers with flak jackets and, you know, coming, you're going to get down, you're going to, right? But when it's much more subtle than that and you don't necessarily see it, boy, that's the beast was more subtle than the beast of the field. You're more inclined to let your guard down and think, yeah, things aren't that bad. My spiritual, yeah, I'm still going to church, that kind of thing. You can never adopt that attitude. You don't want to allow that to kind of, because you're allowing a level of attrition of your spiritual life to get in you. So I always look at it on a daily basis, right? I'm always trying to stir it up. I'm always trying to make some gain personally. I want to get a little closer. I want to get a little cleaner. I want to encourage you in that direction. And I think we find it here in this text here this morning. So I better get at it. And I'm going to try to make this a Sunday school lesson. Let me get a sip here. But I want to give you three things I think can help us all to not stumble. Because if you've fallen, you're not in the fight, right? So the first rule is, you know, to stay in the fight is not to stumble. And so it's proactive, right, to stay active. Let me give you three thoughts here this morning. Number one, look at verse 17, 18, and 19. Jude writing here, he reminds us to remember God's words. Remember God's words. Verse 17 says, but beloved, remember. See that? Ye, what? The words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, just, you need to remember the words. And I'm just going to stop there. I could read a little bit more, but I want to develop that thought first a little bit. I mean, the battle line, again, was drawn in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Yea, have God said. So we know what that is. We're as Bible-believing Christians. And if you're here this morning, and I don't, some, a lot of you, I don't know, if you're kind of getting acclimated to what that means, it means that we put a very high priority on God's book. That's what it means. This is the final authority in faith and practice. It's not something we just say. We know it to be so. This is God's perfect word. And if some of us don't really grasp that, I can assure you the devil does. I mean, that's where he started right there. He scratched a line in the sand, and he knew where to attack. And so the attack always begins with truth. By the way, that's what the battle is really about. If you can separate someone from the truth, now you've got them. Because that's the only hope that you and I and all of us have. If the Bible says one thing and we are saying and practicing another thing, something is wrong. We need to remember the words of God. And you and I as Christians, right? Listen. What I believe is really, really, really irrelevant if it's not how I behave. I want to stress that. Sound doctrine, Titus chapter 2, is taking what God has taught on this side and balancing it out with my living it. And if those two bookends aren't up, then my books have fallen. Right. I've fallen. The Bible is not a book of theology per se. It's a book of life. It's how to live. It's how to know God. So 1 Timothy chapter 2 warns the church, not warns the church, but Paul's writing to the church and reminding us this tremendous thought of what really true spiritual logic is. He says, I exhort you first of all, prayers, supplications for all men, for them that are in authority. See, before you even take your next step, you need to pray. To actively bring God into the equation. That's spiritual life. And he says, the key there is really amazing. He says that all men might be saved, their salvation, and come to a knowledge of the truth, their sanctification. See, they're married. It's part of the gospel. The gospel isn't just salvation. It's salvation and it's your life living for God too. There's two sides of that. You know that from Galatians chapter 1. Paul says this. Actually, go over there. It's Sunday school, right? Start to preach. Occupational hazard. What did I say? Galatians chapter 1. I love this verse here in Galatians chapter 1. You want to get this because he's telling us to remember God's words. Ah, good old Vancouver area. I can hear those raindrops falling on my head. Sorry, I took some of you down the wrong road there. I'm really good at that. All right, pray for me. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 4. Speaking of our Savior who gave himself for our sins. See it? That's salvation. That's justification. Let's say the doctrine of salvation. On one side, it's justification, who gave himself for our sins. Here's sanctification, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. They're not two separate doctrines. When God saved your soul, he did so with the intention of you in taking that power he has invested in you through the Holy Spirit and the download of this amazing supernatural software into your soul and changing your life. And that's what it's all about. So what can you do with that? Well, you can have a relationship with God. Yeah, that's the golden ring, right? Walking with the Lord. In fact, in verse 14, it talks about Enoch. He's preaching the second coming of Christ with no Bible yet. He walked with God, right? So this thing of not stumbling, not falling, not fainting begins with the book. I like that as a Bible believer. And I think the idea is, just let me give you a couple of thoughts. We need to memorize the contents of this book. I mean, put it into my mind. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's more than just reading one eye and out the other, or one ear and out the other, or just, you know, I've got a Bible and I've got some memory scriptures and I've learned some things. What are you doing with what you have read and what you have consumed? How is it affecting you? In other words, remember what the Bible says about these matters. He's talking specifically about what he said here. Pay attention to what the Word of God says and be very careful. I want to throw this out there. I don't want to be naughty. I'm a guest preacher, and your pastor's really adept at taking care of you and feeding you and know what you need. So I'm not here to correct you, but I just want to encourage you. But be careful of people always hitting you with questions about the Bible. Young people, remember that. Your friends. Hey, let me show you something, right? Especially if it disagrees with the pulpit. I'm just throwing that out there. Oh, we'll move on. But you know what I'm saying? Words are important. I'll show you something here. Look. This is how big this is. First, we don't have to go there. 1 Timothy chapter. Yeah, it's Sunday school, right? Yeah, might as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Words are really big because we're talking about not falling, right? So obviously, you know, not stumbling, not falling. One of the ways to snare somebody is through words. That's how it began in the garden, right? Words. Don't forget that. The Bible lays down principles that are really amazing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at this in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times. I think we're safe to say, you know, there's at least a nudge there saying there's a special application as you get nearer to the end of the church age, you know, the latter times, you know. And of course, this has always been going on, so it's probably a progressive thing, especially where we are today here in America. But look at this, some shall depart from the faith. That's probably a fall. I was in, now I'm out. I was on, now I'm not. I was praying, now I'm not. I was reading my Bible, now I'm not. I was telling people about Jesus, now I'm not. Right, that kind of thing. Depart from the faith. Because we're talking about contending for the faith, right? So that fits. How? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. See that? How's that happen? The next word in verse 2, speaking. That's where that all flows, words. Talked about voices, right? The song. We live in an age where it's just, I mean, the stream of information constantly flowing in and out of our life. I mean, just constantly. Look at it again. Look at First John chapter 4. Look at this. It's words. Where do they come from? People speak them. People speak them. That's why you're saying, try the spirits. How do you try the spirits? What are they saying? Oh, I know, it gets kind of spooky, huh? 1 John chapter 4. That's the way. Look, this is Bible. This is the Bible world. It pulls the curtain back from the theater of life, so to speak. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false what? See that? Words. Many false prophets are gone out of the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that, does it say, confesseth? Yeah, verse 2, confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. See, I'm just saying words. Yeah, look, there's not some glowing individual talking to you. If that's true, you need to have some counseling sessions later this week with Pastor Stewart. Someone's talking to you and causing doubt or maybe causing drift. Oh man, that church, you listen to that, you really believe that, this is so much more, let's go, hey, come on man, let's, you know, what is that? That's a seducing spirit. It comes in a number of forms, depending on the individual. It's all tailor-made for all of us, right? It might just be, just bag this and go out in the world, or it might be stop going here and go somewhere else, or just believe, don't believe. Hey, we need to think about this, you know, because it's very important. And strengthen yourself against this and prepare yourself for this. And that's all I'm talking about this morning. And that is spending time in your Bible and clear teachings. What's the Bible teach? And the problem is that there are people and sometimes other believers that are in practice, they're not godly. right? That the seducing spirit, or the contending with another individual, or drawing them away from what they believe, or maybe just giving them a sense of doubt about it. That's not a godly thing. You know, questioning Scripture, scoffers in the last day. Now, we expect that from the world. We expect that, scoffers in the last day, and they don't believe the Bible, and they don't believe in, you know, and we're seeing it more and more here in this country. But how did that happen? And it's a progressive thing, see? So we want to be on our guard for that in our own personal life. And when I talk about believing, it's a certain kind of believing. The faith that was once delivered, let's go back to Jude there. The faith that was once delivered to the saints is a certain kind of believing. And that would include what? Salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're safe there. I mean, these fundamentals of the faith, you know, also the premillennial coming of Jesus Christ, the pre-tribulation rapture position. Those are all standard positions that we have. I say we because I'm from this church that we have embraced from the get-go. I'm not gonna change my position in midstream in an age where that's the spirit of the age, especially with the alt media world today that is just filled with, we have a particular potential nature to just go chasing after the latest, the greatest, the new thing. That's Acts 17. That's Paul in Athens to hear a new thing, right? And so we have to guard ourselves against that. And again, it's words that we have to be careful with. And by the way, one of the ways we can a countermeasure for this is we need to spend time in our Bible, is what I'm saying. Look at verse 17, Jude verse 17 here. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken. So to remember that were spoken, right? So yeah, you have an influence in this world. And our influence, Jude's influence, our influence is unique in that our influence are inspired words of God, and these words, they're eternal and they're true. They're inspired words, and they're alive, and they give life, and they sustain life, and they help people pull them out of the darkness and give them some direction in their light. And never allow yourself to downplay the importance of the Word of God in your life. And they should be playing a major role in your thinking and your meditating and what you spend time. There's going to be a competitive, we live in a competitive world for the words of God, the truths of God. So young people especially, if you're still in school, you're always constantly got this push on you, challenging the truths that you learn at church or your friends you get in youth group or whatnot. Don't let that happen. Be familiar with your Bible. Know what you believe and know why you believe it. Amen? And that's what I'm saying. So you want to memorize that. You want to meditate on that, and that'll help you along. So that's the first thought. I'm going to scoot along to the second thought here. We'll never get to, or the second thought. We'll never get to the third thought. Let me get this here. So remember God's words. I think that's a good God's Word Baptist Church, right? Yeah, that's your motto. Secondly, look at verse 20. I want to say this. Secondly, build your Christian life. Verse 20 says, "But beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith." Now, this is really important. You want to look at verse 20 and notice those words. Building up what? Yourselves. You got to do it. You know, and in other words, this is something you're going to have to do yourself. It is essential as a Christian. No one's going to do it for you. Christianity is a proactive life. You've got to take responsibility for your spiritual life. Take responsibility for it. "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice." No one else is going to do it. God can't do it. You're commanded to do it. You need to do it. It's essential that you do it. You build yourself up. You should be in a building program, personally, always, every day, right? I want to encourage you that way. Listen, this church is only as strong and effective and bringing glory to God as the membership that comes in here. Why? The church is not mortar, stone, and brick. Or mortar, stone, and wood, or whatever. Right, it's you. We're the church. We bring individually what becomes the collective local assembly. Right? And, you know, that responsibility for your relationship with the Lord, it's on you. It's yours, and you should want that. You should own that and grab that and just run with it. Run with it and live for God. And listen, you know, once saved, the believer needs to commit themselves to growth in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me give you some thoughts here. Hold your place here. Jump back to Ephesians chapter 2. The foundation, he says, your most holy faith. That's what you build it on. That's the foundation. Let's call that the foundation. And we're safe because that's what it's called. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Great passage. Back up here, Paul's kind of putting a little special emphasis and light toward the Gentile group in this sense. And he says here, verse 18, for through him we both, he's talking about that Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ, that body, one body, strangers and foreigners. Where was it? Verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. He's talking about the body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ. If you're saved, you're in that body. And are built upon the foundation, here it is, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You see that thing? It's a building. It's a body. It's a building. There's a number of different kind of idioms used in the Bible to describe the church, and that's just a few. Bride, whole bunch of hats that we wear. But in that all, there's always this emphasis that's laid on your personal participation in your life. It's just absolutely essential. And why? Because, listen, you're saved. You're a child of God. You want to get to know God. I want to get to know him. That's where it's at. You get to know God. You get to know God. People will know it. Your family will know it. Your wife or your husband will know it. Good. Your coworkers will know it. You know, it's just that's how that is. Now, that comes with some problems. That's okay. There's problems all over anyway. Might as well be a good problem, right? Back to Jude. But that's what that is. The foundation of the Christian faith is this Bible here, and it's the Christ of the Bible and the God of the Bible, and it's a living thing, and nothing more, nothing less. Build on this book, and we see that. Let me read something really quick. You don't have to jump over there, but it's worth reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, watching my time here. I gotta wrap this little guy up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. You know, he's saying this. The only foundation worth having. It's the only one that will stand. The only one that will stand. Now, are you saved here this morning? Okay, that stands forever. Now build on that, right? And that's the emphasis laid here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, which the larger theme is the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ. See, where's this all going, preacher? Go back to Jude. Here's where it's going. God saved you, brought you to Calvary and showed you his son, showed you your sin, and showed you his cure for your sin. And that began an eternal relationship with an eternal God who wants to take your and my small life. He wants to translate that into something that's going to step out into eternity. Listen, the window of opportunity to take something from this world with you of value and of glory and of praise and of honor to him is your window is right now. Once you step out there, the window closes and the testimony will be a past thing. The crown forever, the medals forever, whatever that glory is, what? Well, God thinks it's valuable. and He wants to see you have it. And I encourage you to live for it and win it. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What an opportunity, but you have to seize it. Now, the battle, personally for you, is the world, the flesh, and the devil are all conspiring against you to convince you that the effort's really not that worth it. The daily effort, the daily discipline is not really that worth it. Go over to Colossians 3. Let me show you something. It encourages me to remember in this thing. Folks, we're not being asked to do something beyond our ability. We're not being asked to live a life, to think a thought, to discipline ourselves in some way, to live some sort of ascetic sort of life down here where we just lose it all and give it all up and for what and that kind of a thing. Your flesh will tell you that. Your flesh will tell you that. And then be forced to spend time in all kinds of difficult activities that just are really inconvenient and all this stuff. Stop for a minute. I want to show you something about what the Christian life is about. It's Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. By the way, everything I just said are the musings of the old man. Adam hid with an apron. You know, it was like Don Knotts kind of thing. Because that's because sin. He was hiding his sin. Sin makes cowards of us all. Look at Colossians chapter 3. I got to get over there. Sorry. Watch this here. Verse 17. Colossians 3:17. Already after discussing this, you know, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth, so on and so forth. He says in verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, that covers it all, right? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Okay? That's everything. How you mowed the lawn, how you did the dishes, how you performed at work, the conversation with your spouse, the conversation with your friends, the conversation with your family, the conversation with your neighbors, the activities at the store, the drive from here, the drive from there, just, you know what I mean? Everything. Whatsoever ye do in word, in deed, right? Look at verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. A little zeal in there, right? Like, yeah. Okay, what's that? Everything, whatever. As unto the Lord and not unto men. So important. I think we were chatting about charity last night. Verse 24 is what I want you to see. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Your and my whole entire life, every minute, the activities of this life, the stuff of life, God is very interested in how you live that. And if you will live that considering Him, to do so in a way that pleases Him, that honors Him, that'll keep that old nature in check. And it transforms every day. God's rewards are found in the mundane. When you grab that shovel, young man, and dig that ditch, do it for the glory of the Lord. What are you doing? You're investing in eternity. Right? You're filling gas at the gas station. Take some tracks in your pocket. Pass some. I do it all the time now. Just pass them out to everybody passing out. I did one just the other day, and it was funny. I gave it to a couple of guys over here, and they're, oh, thank you. And I'm sitting there, and this gal pulled up with a guy in her car, and he went into the store, and she's sitting there in her little car with the window open. So I went, hey, miss, can I give you a little good news today? Yeah, she's got her window open, and it's America, it's 2025. It's like, you know, that kind of thing. And she goes, oh, thank you. She goes, I was just listening to some worship music. I go, you were? What were you doing that? That's weird. And she laughs. And I said, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? She goes, I am. I go, well, there's some good information. Take a look at that and check some things out. And, you know, there's a church we have. And she goes, oh, you know, I'm looking for a church. Right? And uh, And I go, well, praise the Lord. I go, I know the pastor there. He's a great guy. Should go this Sunday. Anyway, so I left. I came home, right? About 10 minutes later, I get home, and my wife Heidi's sitting there on the couch. She's kind of smiling at me. She goes, did you pass out a tract to some people tonight? I'm like, we got these new ones. Sean Holes taught me into getting the ones with the QR codes. I'm like, how's the QR code go to your phone? And she laughs. She goes, no, that lady is a coworker of mine at the Christian school. And she's a teacher there, a third grade teacher. And she just texts, was it, you know, and it was like, she goes, the funny thing is she just joined the Choral Society. One of our members was there and was talking to her about the church a couple of days before. She goes, gee, I think I'll come this Sunday. So pray for my wife. She was going to take her out to lunch. But I'm just, what am I saying? You know what? That, just doing that kind of stuff,
yeah,
including God in your daily activities, that's Christianity. That's contending for the faith. Not everyone's called to go on the battle line with the helmet, you know, and the mortars flying around you, and, you know, off in the foreign fields. The one that can do that like that, but, you know, we can help them here. We can send some cash, contending for the faith. You know, I'm not a demonstrative individual necessarily. I'm pretty awkward out, but I can learn a little more. I try to learn to be outgoing and just take a minute, my day, an extra minute, and do something, try to, you know, chat with somebody about the Lord, or, you know what I mean? That's what it is, the woman in the well. And just a daily living, treating one another in a, don't let, you know what I'm saying? Behaving in a certain way, talking in a certain way, thinking, that's a fight. That's contending. And you know what? Back in Jude, and I'm just going to, then we're done. What is that? You keep that going and walking with the Lord. And while you're doing that, God's going to keep you from stumbling and falling. Why? Because you're keeping Him, the Lord, and the cause of Christ fresh every day in your life. I may do this for a living, but my vocation, I'm trying to, right, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I'm called. My vocation, that's a servant of the Lord, right? And all these other things that I do are just, they're to help me through this life so I can do the eternal things. Verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless in the presence of his glory. Hey, that's where we want to be. We want to get to the finish line. And like Paul, I fought a good fight. Glad I did. Finished the course. Glad I did. Kept the faith. So glad I did. I'm glad I put forth that effort. That's what we want. And that's all the Lord is asking for. Amen? That's all it is. And listen, here's the thing. Every one of us can do it because it's not based on your skill, your ability, your strength, your power, your smartness, your background. It has nothing to do with it. It's unto Him. He can do it. He can do it. Amen? All right, I'm done. All right.